The views, opinions, and content of this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of this station or its management.
Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Prize producer in the studio with me today, Dan Martin. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. I'm just relearning how to press all the buttons that control your room today.
Nice.
I think the last time I ran the board for a show across there was Ted.
Wow. No, you did. I think you did me, one of the very first shows I did, which was a year and a half ago.
Wow. It's been a year and a half since I turned on your microphone. So the first few words that you said this morning, sadly, are not there.
Oh, well,
yeah, they're gone.
Okay, so we'll
but
do it again.
We hear you now, and it sounds great.
Good Sunday morning. We'll bring it back again.
There we go.
Okay, so Dan Martin, who is host of London Calling Midnights, is producing for us today. Glad to get a chance to work with you again. And if you want to chime in, I always give Derek free hand. Silent Derek, I think I'm going to call him from now on, because I get a nod from Derek. That's all I normally get.
Yeah, well, if that's a reference to Silent Bob from Clerks, I'm more like Jay, the foul-mouthed chucklehead.
Well, there you go.
But I'll avoid the first half of that. Yeah. It's the radio. It's not a Kevin Smith film. So
that's right. Okay, so today we're going to get into a couple of different things, and as always at The Drift, we cover the week's events, and you can see all the stuff that I put on the internet for you at www.thedailydrift.com, and it's the news you don't see on channels 2, 4, and 7 mainstream. You don't even see it on Fox sometimes, so you certainly want to get your news at The Daily Drift. It's quick and concise. It's a nice way to wake up in the morning or to go to bed at night. I get a lot of readers logging on at night. So good stuff, good opinions, good columnists. I've had a few of them on the show. So go to The Daily Drift, get your stuff there. If you want to email me, Gary at The Daily Drift, if you don't feel like calling in this morning, and as always, 734-822-1600. Now, let me start with some business. The Rock Shop is our sponsor this half hour, ROCK-SHOP, SHOPPE.com. That's The Rock Shop. Marco and Helena Scapatici are by appointment only right now. You can still get some deals if you're looking for some statuary or fountain work or stuff like that. But they've got a great selection of hardscape. And it's not too early in the season to start thinking about what you want to do now. Get in there, talk to them if you get a chance. And they're located right off of M14 at Godfredson and North Territorial Road. So that's exit 15. Their number, 734-455-5560. And again, it's therock-shop.com. All right, so this week I actually took a half a day of work and went and saw Governor Snyder up at the Greater Brighton Chamber of Commerce and got to listen to his new plan about the roads. And he kind of made sense. I mean, I think we all realize in the state of Michigan, wouldn't you agree, Dan, that roads are just terrible, aren't they?
There's been some improvements over the last, I would say, year or two. M14 is great now. The worst roads I ever experienced were in Burton in Genesee County. I haven't been through there in years, but I have never experienced bumpier blacktop in the history of mankind.
Right, and you know,
Dort Highway, that was what it
there
was.
There you go.
Yeah,
in Genesee County, a lot of that's local match. I mean, the counties can only do so much. You got to have local match. And if you don't have businesses in your township or municipality bringing in some money, the county can only match what you have.
Yeah.
So if you got zero, you get zero.
Basically, as I'm driving there, I think I was on my way to the Humane Society of in Flint one time when I worked in Saginaw. And the only businesses I saw along Dort were independent contractors in very high heels. And I just drove right past them. So I was a little leery of that.
Yeah.
Like, where is this humane society? Come on, I want to feed the cats.
That's right. Last time I was in Flint, I think I thought, how did I get into Detroit? Did I make a wrong turn somewhere?
Well, the sad thing is, Flint doesn't even have the beautiful buildings that Detroit has. I go to Detroit all the time. My wife and I have stayed at the Book Cadillac. I took my son just last weekend to the Detroit Historical Museum. We go to Slo's. We go to American Coney. All of that. Detroit. People don't understand how magnificent it is, but Flint is like just the bad parts of Detroit without the cool, like, new center and downtown areas.
Right, right.
It's a shame because Flint used to be, I mean, when I was growing up, I would think Buick City. I would look forward to seeing the sign when we would go up north, and I'd feel all that, you know, Buick Tri-Shield pride and all that, and it's like nothing now.
Right, yeah, it's a shame. It's a
Unions
shame to even
killed
drive through it. But the roads, you know, they need to be done. There's no doubt about it. And what Snyder is pushing now, and he's admitting he's going to get some blowback from the legislature about raising taxes. But what he wants to do is spend $1 billion a year to begin fixing our roads over the next 10 years. And he's saying that this will save us about $15 billion because if we wait 10 more years before we do anything, the roads will cost $25 billion to fix. So, and it makes sense. I mean, the longer you wait to repair something, the more expensive it's going to be to fix it on the back end. So he's looking at maybe a wholesale gas tax, which, again, will filter down. I don't know what the difference between retail and wholesale is, frankly. We end up paying for that at the pump. So it's going to cost us one way or the other. But he's trying to be flexible. He's asking for ideas to do that. And, you know, here's an idea that I came up with, Dan. I think you don't drink pop anymore, do you, Dan?
Very rarely. I did have, I think, two Pepsis yesterday when my wife and I went out to dinner because we don't go out to dinner all that often without the kid. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to have a couple of Pepsis and really treat myself.
Treat yourself, exactly. Well, for me, I've always thought, you know what, we tax alcohol up the wazoo. We tax cigarettes up the wazoo. The other sin, and even according to George Washington, was sugar. You know,
yeah.
Why not put a dime on every bottle of pop? And let's be fair, I'll put it on water too. Put a dime or even 5 cents on every bottle of pop and water sold in the state of Michigan. And maybe even fountain drinks too. Because you know what? 10 million people in the state, I bet you 8 million of them a day are having a pop or a bottle of water.
Some of them are having 12 pops a day.
Exactly.
That's what I was 100 pounds ago.
You know, do the math. You're bringing in millions of dollars a day if you just do that. And I don't think the average Joe's going to miss $1.10 instead of a dollar for a pop. I mean, when you get a 2 liter sometimes on sale for 99 cents of Faygo, is a dime going to stop anybody?
No, tax everything except for Faygo and Better Made.
Dude, are you a lobbyist for Better Made and Faygo? Is that what you're talking
about? No, I just support Michigan industry. No tax on Velvet peanut butter either. Only Jif and all those other brands.
No, I grew up on Velvet.
Oh, man.
I grew up on Velvet. That's
I went to school with a guy whose dad, the faces, the three faces, they were based on this guy's dad or grandpa or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I always look for Velvet when we go. My wife always buys Jif, I think.
Yeah, it came back not too long ago.
Yeah. So, but we're Jif family now. But I remember Velvet. That's all my mom bought.
Oh, it was my favorite. I was so glad when it came back. But then I looked at the caloric content of peanut butter.
Yeah.
I said, well, I won't be having too many peanut butter sandwiches.
That's right. Yeah. That's what I used to eat in college to save money, see? So anyways, the governor is looking for, and if you've got an idea, I'd love to hear it, 734-822-1600, because people do actually listen to the show up in Lansing, if you can believe that or not. So any ideas you may have, you want to get them out, get them out. The other thing I would encourage people to do is get active. You've got state reps, Cindy Denby, Bill Rogers, we had Mark, who's our new lady, Gretchen Driscoll, is she our new? I think she's our new. So call them. Let them know how you feel about this. They will get your message. You may not get a chance to talk to them personally, but you need to tell them about this, whether you are in for more gas tax or not. And if not, what other options do you possibly think may work? So, you know, it doesn't help to be silent. You really have to get out there and use the media in any fashion you can. Write letters to the editor of local papers, whatever you've got to do. But you got to get involved.
I know a really good local paper they could write to.
The Current.
Yeah, yeah. Read it, write to it, embrace it.
Yes, go to currentonline.com, CourantOnline.com, and you can, I will be happy to publish those. So it's very important, I think, that we do this. The governor also made a point of stating that, you know, he thinks it'll save like 100 lives a year, which there's no price you can put on a life. So if a better road would save 100 lives a year, that's pretty awesome. So make sure that you get involved on this issue because you're going to pay for it one way or the other. So, you know, think about how you can help and how you can speak up and make these things better. Now, during the question and answer session, I found an answer that the governor gave to one question quite surprising. Somebody, of course, it's Livingston County, very conservative. Somebody asked, what about a part-time legislature? And the governor actually responded in a way that surprised me quite much. And let's go with track number one, if you can pull it up there for me, Dan.
Okay, here we go. We've got that. I was pausing the track number two I was queuing up.
That one comes up every so often, and I see there are some people excited by the council. what I would say is I think that's a fair question to ask at some point in time. But if you look at the last two or three years, and you just heard what I was talking about reinventing Michigan, is, to be fair, I'm asking them to do enough work where we need them there full time. Because they have been extremely busy. So I would say for at least the next two or three years, as we continue on this path of reinvention, we just need to work really hard and work well together. And we've had some challenges. We've had a divisive period here, and I want to try to work on finding more common ground so we can solve more of these problems together.
Surprise of all surprises. I really expect him to say, no, we have to. But it sounds to me that maybe by the end of a second term for Governor Rick, he may be interested in seeing a part-time legislature. So all you career bureaucrats, beware. Maybe it is time for us to if the state of Texas can run their great, prosperous state on part-time legislature, the state of Michigan certainly can. And we need to make sure that at some point we get that way because I think we're safest as taxpayers when the legislature is not in session. So, again, be aware, be involved, get out and tell people about that. The next thing that happened this week was the biggie, I guess. We've been talking about it. The executive orders that our grand leader, President Obama, put out. Now, he did 23 executive actions besides asking for Congress to jump on some kind of an assault ban. Excuse me. And but we're going to run into a break. It's already quarter after. So, Dan, let's go to a break. And when we come back, we'll jump into these executive orders of Mr. Obama's.
Hello, Wham! Listeners. I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Every Sunday at 5 p.m., we explore the world of art and antiques, commercially, academically, and from the perspective of the collector. Speaking of Art features renowned guests as our guides as we visit great museums, galleries, theaters, and historic sites. We'll examine paintings, prints, sculpture, and drawings. You'll hear from the artists and their patrons, and you'll gain a special insight into both contemporary and historical periods. We'll travel through monuments of world architecture and experience the evolution of design. Achievements in film, music, and stage will also grace our forum. Speaking of Art is one of the best conversations of your week. So, nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Sunday at 5 on WHAM. Speaking of Art, it's about civilization, yours.
Settle in for a great conversation every Sunday at 5 p.m. Speaking of Art with Ed Hoffman, exclusively on WHAM Talk 1600.
Is one of your New Year's resolutions to be more prepared for whatever the new year may bring? Tired of worrying about just-in-time food delivery from the store? Concerned about changing weather patterns, solar flares, fiscal cliffs, or other potential challenges we face? Well, Ann Arbor Arms has you covered. If your resolution is to just keep an everyday carry bag in your car in case of mechanical failure, or to have a bug-out bag ready to flee the scene, A3 carries everything you and your loved ones may need, including food, water filtration, clothing, and items for home and personal defense. Ann Arbor Arms believes training is a key part of preparation and offers a full line of classes to help you be prepared, including handgun and non-lethal defense. So if this year's resolution is to be prepared for any challenge, head over to Ann Arbor Arms, pick up a free bug-out bag list, even purchase that home defense shotgun you've been wanting. Visit Ann Arbor Arms at 5060 Jackson Road, Suite H in Ann Arbor. Call them at 734-531-6650 or visit AnnArborArms.com.
In the beginning, we had something called the official ABC Warehouse. We'll beat any deal, any time.
You're listening to Gurney.
TV, stereos, computers, home office accessories.
Founder of ABC Warehouse.
We sell, but we ran out of paint.
He's talking about ABC's two-word or less policy.
I used to think that yelling and screaming would let everyone know that nobody can beat ABC's prices.
Uh-huh.
But then I realized the or less policy works even better, and my throat doesn't hurt so much.
I guess that's why they call Gordy the doctor of the deal. Although, no thank you. I'm not turning my head and coughing.
The or less policy means we'll beat any deal, anytime, even our own prices. It's so simple, it really speaks for itself.
I couldn't have not said it better myself. ABC Warehouse, the closest thing to wholesale.
This week at ABC Warehouse, get a GE Energy Star built-in dishwasher for only $3.97 or less. ABC Warehouse, the closest thing to wholesale. Get the sale ad online at abcwarehouse.com.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in and catching my drift this Sunday morning. 734-822-1600. Would love to have your questions, comments, concerns, and bring them in because this is your show as well as mine. We're talking Obama's executive orders on gun control. Now, everyone's up in arms about this. We had a gun appreciation day yesterday. And around the country, gun owners and would-be gun owners showed up at gun shops. And a couple hundred people actually showed up in Milford at Huron Valley Guns.
And there was a guy at breakfast in Livonia yesterday wearing a Glock shirt. He came in, sat down at the table behind me. I saw his shirt. I turned around, tapped him on the shoulder, and he looked at me. And I stuck out my hand, and I said, Second Amendment. And he shook it solid. That's all we said. The eyes made contact. We understood. It's important, and people don't get it.
They don't get it. That's exactly right. They don't get it. Because you know what? It's not about hunting. You know, when Andrew Cuomo went off last week saying, you don't need a 10-round magazine to kill a deer. Well, the first thing that occurred to me was, dude, I'm a pretty lousy shot. I need 10 rounds to kill a
deer.
Yeah,
yeah. You might know. Mess up the meat a little bit.
It's,
but, you know.
It's tenderizing, dude.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
That's the way I look at it. It's already ground,
it's
right?
Like, oh, sweet. I got some sausage.
All right. I'm only kidding. I'm not that bad a shot. But it's not about deer hunting. This is, A, you know, about protecting you and your family. Because as we all know, someone breaks into your home, you could be 48 minutes before the cops show up.
And not just protecting yourself from the violent criminals that could possibly break into your home, but protecting yourself from a tyrannical government as well. That's what the Second Amendment was about. It was like, okay, governments go bad. You need to have the ability to prevent them from doing things like what, you know, everybody says, oh, it's so trite to draw the conclusion. But when you look at what happened with the gun removal in Germany.
Yes.
I see it. And everybody says, oh, I'm so tired of people drawing, you know, the Hitler-Obama parallels. I say, well, I don't mean to. But when I look at what occurred and I see what is occurring, what else can I do but think,
Yeah, there was a guy, you know, I Facebook now, you know, I don't put a lot of time in, but I do it for the show, I do it for the Daily Drift, and once in a while you get these crazy people like, oh, you're paranoid. Well, you know what, and I said this yesterday, if the people of Europe in 1912 and again in 1938 were a little more paranoid, 7 million or 6 million Jews might not have died.
Yeah, it's like they just didn't see what was coming.
They didn't see what was coming. And I guess what bothers me is that people can be so blind to history. And you and I were talking about history earlier this morning.
Yeah.
You know, if you, those who fail to remember the past are doomed to repeat it.
Exactly.
And we need to do that, you know. But it's also the last best line of defense for the country. You know, if every home in the United States has a gun and somebody who knows how to use it, I defy somebody to come into this country and attack it. You know, send in your army. We will decimate them. So I don't have a problem with 8 out of 10 homes in this country having a gun. I think that's a great thing.
Properly trained, properly stored. And educate the children as well. I think the first time my son, who is now in the United States Air Force, shot a gun, he was like 6.
And God bless him for being in the Air Force.
I mean, it was a 22, and now he shoots guns that are as big as my Buick. But he's pretty good. He's got some good aim.
Yeah. I mean, gun control certainly means knowing what you're doing. That's the way I look at it. And shame on our country for not making a rifle class in high school.
Yeah, they used to have them.
A required class. You need to learn how to safely use and store a firearm. You know what? That's going to prevent all those accidental shootings right off the bat. You know? So we're not looking at gun control the way we should be. We really aren't. So let's take a look at some of these executive orders that Obama's got out here. Number one, he's issuing a presidential memorandum to require federal agencies to make relevant data available to the federal background check system. What? Seriously, we haven't been doing that? I've been signing a NICS form, National Instant Criminal Background Check form, anytime I bought a gun in the last 20 years or 15 years. Why are they not doing that already? Again, he has not been enforcing the current laws that are on the books. Number two, address unnecessary legal barriers, particularly relating to the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act that prevents states from making information available to the background check system. Well, that's got the Obamacare written all over it. But again, it's the federal government. It's your information. Why are you guys not sharing that information anyways? Number three, improve incentives for states to share information for the background check system. Now, this kind of relates, I think, to the mental health is what they're talking about. And is there going to be some privacy problems when you talk about somebody's mental health compared to owning a gun? Well, frankly, I think maybe there's got to be a compromise in there anyways. I mean, I certainly don't want people who are on medication of some sort or another for a mental problem, even if it's mild, handling guns or maybe even owning a gun. You know, I don't want somebody on Valium who's depressed owning a gun or having a gun in the house anyways.
Yeah, because even if they don't turn it on others,
they may use it on themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and that's, you know,
it's a much more personal tragedy, but it's a tragedy nonetheless.
Exactly, exactly. And if you value human life, and if you value human life that much, then even that one person who's deciding to opt out, there's better ways to opt out than using a gun, I can assure you of that.
Yeah, but with the clean emissions now, no matter how many hoses you hook up to the back of the car, I mean, it just doesn't work. You got to get like a 77 Electra for it to work. And you hook it up to one of these new cars, and you're sitting there going, I've got a mild headache. I've been here for hours.
I've been in the garage for 8 hours with the car running, and I'm only mildly dizzy.
Yeah, nothing works anymore. And that goes right back to government, you know. Too much government
too
involvement.
Too much government. Yeah, that's exactly right. Let's go with number four. Direct the Attorney General to review categories of individuals prohibited from having a gun to make sure dangerous people are not slipping through the cracks. Well, again, they've had the NICS check in place for years. Are you telling me you haven't really looked at the different categories of people who are prohibited? You're either mentally ill or somewhere along the line. You know what I mean? Enforce it. It's been on the books for years. Proposed rulemaking to give law enforcement the ability to run a full background check on individuals before returning a seized gun. Well, I assume that I've heard the horror stories of people who have had guns taken, and getting them back from the police department is just a nightmare to begin with, whether it was a robbery or something else going on in the house. I think that's already in place. Publish a letter from the ATF to federally licensed gun dealers providing guidance on how to run backroom checks for private sellers. I'm not sure I even understand that one. If you're doing a private sale through a licensed federal dealer, the background check has to be done. launch a national safe and responsible gun ownership campaign. Well, you know who already does that? The NRA.
Yeah.
You know, Eddie the Eagle program. The NRA will pick that one up in a heartbeat. All you got to do is ask, you know. Review standards. Well, we'll continue this after the break. I love this music. You like my bumper music, Dan?
Oh, yeah. This is good stuff.
All right. When we come back, we'll go through these orders, and I want to hear from you. 734-822-1600. We'll see you on the other side.
Talk 1600.
Hey, my blood brothers of freedom. This is Ted Nugent.
Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse.
God bless Ann Arbor and Wham Radio. I started doing interviews on Wham Radio around 1966. I celebrate and promote the God-given individual right as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, for us to defend ourselves, to keep and bear arms. And just to make sure everyone understands what we the people understand, keep can only mean one thing. That's it's mine and you can't have it.
Wham.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. Moments ago in Washington...
I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., do solemnly swear...
that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Vice President Joe Biden sworn in by Justice Sonia Sotomayor. With the public ceremony taking place at noon tomorrow, President Obama will officially be sworn in later today.
Now, tomorrow, about 800,000 people are expected on the Mall for the president's second inaugural address, much smaller crowd than the one 4 years ago, and the weather is expected to be a bit warmer than the 28 degrees it was at noon for his first inaugural. That'll still beat the 7 degrees it was for Ronald Reagan's second.
Fox's Wendell Goler at the White House. Officials in Algeria reporting more than 23 hostages are dead following an attack by government forces on the terrorist-held gas plant in the Sahara. 32 terrorists said to be killed in that assault. Fox News. We report. You decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Who is your Valentine this year? The Leslie Science and Nature Center Barn Owl, of course. His perfectly beautiful heart-shaped face will inspire the artist and everyone as the LSNC helps you make your own Valentine to share with loved ones. It'll be Sunday, February 10th from 1 to 3 p.m., all ages $5 per person. To learn more, visit lesliesnc.org or call 734-997-1553. Teens Using Drugs, What to Know and What to Do is a free ongoing two-part series. Part one provides information on how to recognize and understand adolescent substance abuse. Part two provides information on what should and should not be done to help when a teen's substance abuse problem is recognized, and concludes with a short talk by a young person in recovery. All presentations are free and open to the public. To learn more, call 734-973-7892 or visit teensusingdrugs.org. The Alzheimer's Association has launched two free resources for families impacted by Alzheimer's disease. The Alzheimer's Association's Alzheimer's Navigator is an online tool to help caregivers and people with dementia evaluate their needs, identify action steps, and connect with local programs and services. The other free resource, ALZ Connected, is powered by the Alzheimer's Association and is the first social networking community designed for people living with Alzheimer's and their caregivers. For more information on Alzheimer's disease or available resources, visit alz.org or call 800-272-3900.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108.
The Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America, brought to you by the Vincent Law Firm. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Thank you, forefathers, and thank you, Vincent Law Firm, for supporting that Bill of Rights and that document 24/7. The Vincent Law Firm, located at 302 North Huron Street in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Contact the Vincent Law Firm at 734-487-4970 or visit the Vincent Law Firm on the web at vincentlegalservices.com.
Chimney cleaning and repair is not something you want to do on your own. Do it wrong and you could burn your house down. Trust Lawrence Maintenance to do it right. The professionals at Lawrence Maintenance do it all. They also do gutter installation, cleaning and repair, deck repair and maintenance. They sell and install wood stoves. Quality top to bottom. Visit Lawrence Maintenance on the web at chimneyanddeckmaintenance.com or call them at 734-925-2050 today.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for catching my drift this Sunday morning. Got a nice email from Don from Dexter. He says, Gary, I agree we need to fix the roads, but as I Google the states with the highest tax, we are number 5 on the list. So first, where does our current gas tax go? Second, any option on looking what we can get rid of to get this billion needed? Well, those are great comments, Don, and I have to agree with you that there are probably some problems. I remember going to a township board meeting in my town, and the county road commission was there. And the one road commissioner, Viegel, I think, was it Fred Viegel? Something like that. Anyways, I don't even know if he's the commissioner anymore. But he was up in arms because the state was taking some of the money for roads and spending it on other things. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. If somebody knows that, I'd like to know. But it never left my head after I heard that some of the money we pay right now in taxes at the gas station for roads are not going to roads. So I don't know, Don, where that is. But I'll put a call into the road commission, because I actually know one of the guys there now. Our former county commissioner, Schwartz, is now on the road commissioner. In fact, maybe we'll get him on the show.
I wouldn't be Ken surprised Schwartz. If it's not going to wealth redistribution.
It's going
like
somewhere.
Every tax dollar ends up in somebody else's pocket eventually.
Right, right. Something is funny there, Don. I have to agree with you. I think there are ways to spend. And I tell you what, I think if we got rid of Davis-Bacon wages on road construction projects here in the state, you'd get more bang for your buck. I mean, if you don't have to abide by those kind of crazy union rules, you're going to get a few more miles of road fixed. You know, I think we've all seen, and one of my favorite jokes is, and this is probably not fair to the road commission, but what's orange in Sleep 6? The road county commission vehicles.
Yes. Oh, man.
All right. If you work for the county, I'm sorry. It's just an old thing. I grew up in Detroit, so Wayne County was terrible for that. But I think we're not utilizing the money we currently have. And you're right. We're high on that list of states that pay a lot of money already. So hopefully Snyder will look at that before they just wholesale shove some additional cash at it. But I don't know that that's going to happen for sure. So
one of the things that's been interesting to me lately is near the bus stops, they're putting, well, just like over here by 23 and Packard, there's now a thing where you walk halfway across the street and you can stand there and then walk the rest of the way to the bus stop. And then up by Washtenaw, and it's either Gulfside or I think McCarty might be the name of the road, there's a thing right by the turn lane now, too, in there. And I just picture people hitting them.
Right.
Going up these curbs, knocking over these things. It's like, wow.
Right. Well, it's, you know, oddly enough, I hate to be the conspiracy guy, but it's part of that Agenda 21. We want to slow people down. We want cars to go slower so people can get on bikes. You know, you want to stop wasting money. What was with that? Instead of redoing the bridge at Geddes Road, what's with the bike bridge that went in across there?
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about a waste of money. Frankly, that's crazy. You could have done a whole new bridge and just put a bike lane on it, not build a whole separate bridge for the bike.
Yeah, as long as you've got a decent sidewalk. And the other thing, people that ride their bikes in the street. I have a 1987 Schwinn. It's got huge tires. I rode it all last summer, you know, to get some exercise. Riding in the street is scary. Why do so many people do it? Ride on the sidewalk. And then I talked to somebody that is they love to walk. And they said, well, if you ride on the sidewalk, you might hit a person. I'm like, well, in a person bicycle crash, you got two people that are a little scuffed up. In a Ford F-150 bicycle crash,
somebody's dead.
Yeah. It's like,
Yeah.
I'll be riding on the sidewalk no matter how many dirty glares I get from people walking.
Yeah, the green agenda doesn't always use common sense. I mean, let's face it. Now, I know Theron doesn't like the traffic circles. Me,
I kind of like them.
I like the traffic circles.
They're kind of neat.
Yeah, up there at Brighton and Lee Road, they put in the double, which is very complicated for most people. But I tell you what, I remember sitting at that light for 5 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
And now I'm through that intersection on the worst day, 1 minute.
Oh, and they make me feel like when I went to London for my honeymoon. It's like, oh, anything that makes it feel more like London is good to me.
You need to put some of those little red phone booths.
Yeah. Those were designed by Sir Giles Gilbert Scott.
Really?
Yeah. That guy designed the little red phone boxes, Liverpool Cathedral, and Battersea Power Station, which is that cool-looking building on the cover of the Pink Floyd album, Animals.
Yes.
Yeah.
And with a pig floating above it.
Yeah. So I was on a train, and I saw that building, and I took a picture of it, and I fell in love with it, and I didn't remember it from the cover of Animals. So then I started looking it up to figure out what it was, and I took a bunch of pictures of the phone boxes and also fell in love with Liverpool Cathedral, and I started reading up on them. I'm like, every cool thing that I liked was designed by the same guy. So immediately his name stuck in my head.
I'm
a total dork.
One of these days
stuff.
I'm going to get to London.
It's good stuff.
How about the food?
Oh, yeah. You know, wake up, have some bangers and mash. That's
really
outstanding.
I mean, you always hear in the movies they slam on the English people for their
food. Don't get it. The food is great. The snacks are great. The soda's better. The chocolate's better. I'm not dissing America, but our chocolate's a little waxy.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. And the best fish and chips I ever had in my entire life was at a small place called the Canalside Chippy. You get into a boat on Loch Ness. You go to the far end of Loch Ness, and there's these canals. You can get off, walk around, take some cool pictures, and have the best fish and chips ever.
Can you go trolling with some French fries for Nessie?
Oh, yeah, that works pretty good.
Yeah.
It's better if you just hang what's left over from the fish because the portions are so big.
Right.
You know, Nessie's head coming out of the water grabbing
I'm a firm
fish.
Believer in Nessie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've got pictures. In my camera, I took a picture. I was at Urquhart Castle looking down. I took a picture just because I liked the scenery, and I noticed a plesiosaur-type shape in the water. And so I zoomed in on my computer once I put it. I'm like, there really is a plesiosaur-type shape in this picture, and I've never deleted it from my camera, so I still have the raw file on my
I want to see it.
On my
you got to ship that to me.
Oh, most definitely.
I got to see that. Okay, so let's get back to the guns. Michigan Senator Tom Casperson from Escanaba is introducing Senate Bill 49, which would keep state databases containing information on gun licenses private so they can't be FOIA'd. Now, we all know that the Journal in New York published the addresses and names of gun owners in New York. And the consequences of that, what I think, invasion of privacy, led to several homes being targeted for break-ins to get the guns. Worse yet, there was a lady who had a personal protection order against somebody. She was hiding from a stalker, basically. Her information was made available, and the stalker refound her. And, the Journal just took this information down yesterday, and they said, oh, well, we did what we wanted to do, and it's had its effect. Well, it certainly did. But frankly, I think they're about to get sued to the high nines. And that's probably the reason they really took it off. But I tried to get Senator Tom Casperson on the phone yesterday and get him to come on the show and couldn't get hold of him. So hopefully we'll get him in there. But Patrick Wright, senior legal analyst for the Mackinac Center, said the Supreme Court ruling, which currently gives the state police the option to deny FOIA requests, doesn't mandate it because it's up to the police at this point. If somebody wants that information, the police can decide whether or not they're going to give it out. So that's a very useful step. And I'm hoping that our legislature will take some additional steps to protect Second Amendment rights here in the state of Michigan because I think we need to. You know, frankly, I like the fact that there are a lot of sheriff departments around the country right now and some state lawmakers who are saying they're not going to enforce some of these Second Amendment infringements if they get passed. Let's go with track two, Dan, if you can pull it up there.
Okay, I believe we've got that one. That one is the growing gun rebellion one?
Correct.
Yeah, here we are.
Governor Rick Perry said he was disgusted by the way the president was using the Sandy Hook massacre.
We need to be looking at this whole mental health issue substantially more than we are using these death of these young children to further a political cause.
A Texas state representative went further, vowing to write a bill that would make it a felony for anyone in the state to enforce new gun laws. In Mississippi, the governor had a similar idea, urging the legislature to prohibit the enforcement of any new federal laws Obama could get passed.
I support the current laws. I don't believe we need to change anything at all.
All right, so there is some pushback on this. And frankly, I don't know that the Congress, you may get the Senate being democratically controlled, passing some of what Obama wants, but I don't think you're going to get the Congress, the House of Representatives, to do that. So again, this is up to you and I as taxpayers, as citizens who enjoy the Second Amendment. You need to be involved. You need to get out there and make the phone calls, send the emails. Now, you can go to thedailydrift.com, and on the far right upper slider, you're going to see a Gadsden flag that's going to have – click on that. You'll get all the contact information you need, not only for local tea parties and stuff, but you'll also have a list of our federal and state representatives. You need – definitely need to do that. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I may even give you some of those phone numbers and emails to contact those people. We'll see you on the other side.
Don't miss Theron's Saturday Night Rock and Rhythm Review. From the heat of Saturday night till the wee hours of the cool early morning, your fingers will be popping. It all kicks off at 4 p.m. with a special Saturday night edition of the Bone Conduction Music Show. Then from 6 to 8, it's Eddie's Caravan with Fast Eddie. At 8 o'clock, we explore America's roots with Radio John D's Greasy Skillet. Then, Johnny Danger invites you to go cruising with the best oldies from 10 to midnight. Dan Martin takes you across the pond for the best of the UK on London Calling at midnight. Followed by Del Villarreal's Rockabilly Fest, Go Cat Go from 2 to 4. Bleach down your slicks, pop your clutch, peel out, and get rubber in all four gears with Theron's Saturday Night Rockin' Rhythm Review. It all starts Saturday afternoon at 4, right here on the musical side of Wham!
In today's economy, you don't want to spend a fortune on interior design. You want your home to look good, express your tastes, and reflect your personality at an affordable price. Gail McNally Interior Design can help you with each phase of your design concept or just a single step. Whether you have an idea or no plan at all, Gail will help you realize your dream home. She can help with backgrounds such as wall color, tile, carpet, and window coverings, to furniture and even accessories. Gail has been an interior designer for more than 26 years, serving not only residential but commercial clients. She has a college degree in interior design and is a longtime member of the American Society of Interior Designers.
Call me today at 734-717-2951, or you can email me at gailmcnally@gmail.com. That's gailmcnally@gmail.com.
Gail McNally, Interior Design.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-888-912-1681. 1-888-912-1681. Call now. That's 1-888-912-1681. 1-888-912-1681.
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. On Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And welcome back. Thank you for catching my drift this Sunday morning. If you want to call in, 734-822-1600, or email me like Don did, gary@thedailydrift.com. You can send me those emails anytime, and make sure you're going to thedailydrift.com to get your news. It's a good place to catch all the stories, video, audio that you need to stay abreast and to stay informed. So, as I was saying, if you go to The Daily Drift, or you can go to GaryWellings.com, too. I've got both those websites up. And all the contact phone numbers that you need for contacting your state and federal local officials. You need to do this. You know, most of us have unlimited plans on our phones now. It only takes a few seconds to call, and you won't get the congressman, or you won't get the state rep, but you'll get one of their... I was going to use the word lackeys. You'll get one of their employees, and the employees will relay that message to them. I assure you, they do listen, and they do get that information. If you call regularly, you are making a difference. So you need to plug those phone numbers into your phone and just, you know, at lunch, on your way into work, do that. We've got a call from Maureen in Farmington. Maureen, welcome to the show. What do you got to say?
Well, I heard Jay Bolger talking about the gas tax, and this is something that I never knew before. The sales tax in Michigan is 6%. 4% of that goes to the schools, and 2% goes into the general fund. It does not specifically go for roads.
That's the sales tax on gas?
Right.
Okay.
6%, you know, besides the gallon tax, the federal and the state federal gallon tax, then there's the 6% sales tax. I don't know how many years it's been on, but I remember when they put it on. Another thing about the sales tax, it is a tax on tax because it doesn't tax the basic price of gas. It taxes the gas with the other taxes on it.
Right, so they're double taxing us on all that stuff.
Right, but the main thing is I never knew that the 6% sales tax was not going to roads.
Yeah, now that's that's probably what Commissioner Vigil, I think, was talking to us about. I mean, again, you know, if you're going to tax gasoline for roads, then spend it on the roads. And once again, it's whether it's Lansing or Washington, they're pulling the wool over our eyes and
Amen. And
doing things to the money. Without our knowledge of it, without our permission, frankly, because Maureen, as you and I both know, we're the bosses, not them.
We should be.
And thank you for your call, Maureen. Nice to hear from you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Take care. Yeah, that's exactly right. The money that's been appropriated is not getting spent where it needs to be. And that makes me more than ever want to get someone from the Road Commission on with us, and we'll discuss these problems, because I really do believe that the money is not being spent the way it should be spent. Let's keep moving on toward guns, though, because I think the important issue here is the gun issue. And once again, you have Hollywood and the media kind of pushing this anti-gun stuff all of a sudden. Now, actor Danny Glover, I don't know if you remember him from the Mel Gibson movies, Lethal Weapons and some of those. Sometimes a good actor, sometimes I've seen him in some bad roles as well. But he came out, and I don't know if he was on something. I don't know. He just didn't sound very good. But let's go with track number 4. This is Danny Glover talking about the genesis or start of why the Second Amendment was made.
It's a great day in Aggieland. I'm very pleased to be here on this very special morning of reflection and insight.
That we become a materialistic and, quite
frankly, let's call a spade, a racist society. Continue to be. In 2012, 2013, how have we changed our souls? We got more items. We use with 5% of the world's population, we use a
Yeah, I think I gave you the wrong resources. Clip there. It's one we'll have to look at. But anyways, he goes on to say that the Second Amendment was put into the Constitution because to hold the slaves down and to kill the Indians, which is just an outrageous statement coming from somebody who's, frankly, I'm going to call him illiterate. Go read the Constitution, Mr. Glover, before you make that kind of a statement. It's just unbelievable that anyone could be so ignorant. Now, you can go to the Daily Drift and you'll see that. I've got it on there, so you can listen to that audio clip.
I think I've got the correct audio clip from Glover now.
Okay. Let's try.
The Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. I don't know if people know the genesis of the right to bear arms. The Second Amendment comes from the right to protect, for settlers to protect themselves from slave revolts and from uprising by Native Americans. So a revolt from people who were stolen from their land, or a revolt from people who the land was stolen from. That's what the genesis of the Second Amendment is.
All right, so absolutely wrong. Once again, here's a would-be pundit from Hollywood thinking he knows something that he obviously does not, or he probably does, and he's just literally pushing his own agenda. Another story we had this week on guns, and if you haven't been to The Blaze, Glenn Beck's website, you really need to pay a little attention to it. I always put links to it on the Daily Drift, and there was a really great video this week of a guy who now can print. I didn't even know this technology was available. I had heard about stereolithography years ago where a computer could run a program and make something out of plastic, you know. Well, they now have replicators and what they call 3D printers. Well, this guy is almost a scary guy to watch. He's developed a software program that you plug into these 3D printers or a replicator. He's using an older model, so it's a 3D printer. And he actually can print parts of a gun. Did you see this?
I heard Beck talking about it, but I did not get a chance to see it.
Get a chance. Go see this video. I had no idea our technology had come so far. It's almost Star Trek-like that the software program will produce the gun magazine. It will produce parts of the gun. By law, you can't produce the whole thing, but you can, literally, if you have the software, and this software now has been downloaded by 50,000 people.
I wonder if I could do it to build an Aston Martin DB5.
If you had a big enough one, you probably could. What they do is they scan all the parts, and it makes them.
That'd be sweet.
And, you know, I don't know what the cost. You'd probably be cheaper to buy one. But the fact is the technology is there that you can literally, if you had the $5,000 unit and the software, which you can now download for free, it's all over the internet, you can use this machine to print yourself a gun.
Man.
You know, and this guy goes on. It's an interesting conversation between him and Beck because the guy is not an anarchist, and yet he's doing something that he feels needs to be done to protect people from government. He's putting this out there. And, you know, Beck asks, are you a villain or not? And the guy goes, I don't know how to answer that. It's a matter of perspective. But, you know, you have to weigh the consequences of freedom with safety. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah.
Until next week, make sure you go to thedailydrift.com. And get those phone numbers for our state senators, our U.S. senators, and let them know, especially Debbie Stabenow and Carl Levin. Tell them to stay away from our Second Amendment rights. Until next week, have a great one. Oh,
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current. To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current newspaper is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown to 6 times its size since 2007 because we have a unique venue for local content, common sense opinion, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes for mere pennies apiece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Sam Iaquinto at 734-323-0777. That's 734-323-0777. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.